Chapter 5. The girls and I made our way back to our house so we could get our weapons ready for the trip. It would take a little bit for us to get everything we needed, and besides, the birds wouldn't be awake until after dark anyways. The sun was beginning to set, though, so once we got our weapons and armor on, we headed toward the caves. They were about an hour's walk out of town, but the glowing twilight was practically picturesque as we left our home.
So, what else can you tell us about the birds?
Asta asked Kaz as we walked to the caves.
Not much.
The sorceress shrugged.
I've never actually seen one. We're going to find a bird you've never seen.
Well, I've never seen one either. I smiled.
Really?
The elf girl asked with wide eyes.
They're incredibly deadly. If they're dangerous normally, then won't they be extra dangerous now that it is mating season?
Asta frowned.
I'm sure they will be, but it's nothing we can't handle. If you've never seen this bird, then how will we know what they look like? I've seen drawings of them, but also I don't think it will be hard to tell. They're the only birds that live inside caves. Caves!
Asta's eyes widened even further at this information.
When you said we needed to go to the caves, I presumed they lived in the mountains above them. No.
Kaz shook her head.
Isn't that strange? I've once read they live in caves because they're too large to live in trees.
Oh, that would make sense. They are massive. 200 pounds, easily.
They sound like a formidable foe.
Blah shook his head then and strutted ahead of us, and he was clearly showing he wasn't scared. Well, they're nothing to be underestimated, I said, for both the elf girl and the little dragon in front of us.
I would think not.
Asta murmured as she chewed on her lower lip. The sun continued to set as we walked through the fields that led to the caves at the edge of the mountains. There were a few couples in the field when we'd first entered, but the closer we got to the caves, the less people I noticed, and for the last half a mile or so I hadn't seen anybody. It seemed we were the only ones willing to go anywhere near the Kingsbird's home, especially during mating season. Anyone who saw us would presume we'd lost our minds. And maybe we had, but if this amulet could help Blah hone his abilities and get us to Helheim, then it would be worth it. Besides, the girls and I were no strangers when it came to combat. I'd watched them go up against the frost giants as well as the enemy tribe we'd come across the day before, and they had held their own. They weren't the fiercest of fighters yet, but they were on their way. I practiced with them nearly every day, and they consistently showed improvement and focus. Eventually, I stopped behind the group to gather some sticks before we made it to the caves. We would need to light our way inside, and it would also be helpful if we could manage to blind the birds with the light.
What are you doing?
We'll need light, I told her as I looked through the sticks.
I have light.
The elf girl smiled and held out her hand, which now emitted a ray of sunlight. I'd nearly forgotten Asta had that ability. Her nature powers hadn't been utilized a whole lot since we'd found her, because they weren't very useful when it came to combat. This time, though, her sunlight would definitely come in handy, and we wouldn't need to have the flames as I'd initially thought. She could easily light our way through the caves, and it would eliminate the danger that came with the flames if they got dropped. I knew Blah's dragon fire wouldn't burn me, but I wasn't sure about the girls, and, I didn't want to take the risk. That will be great, I told Asta with a smile.
We're almost there. Is there anything else we need to do before we go in?
Asta asked as she wrung her hands.
Is there anything I should know about these birds? Not aside from what we've already told you.
We'll be careful when we go in, I told the elf girl. I wasn't about to let anything happen to the girls. These birds might be vicious, but so was I, especially when it came to the ones I loved. We also had 3 small dragons on our side, and while they weren't the most well-trained yet, they were still quite deadly. Between the 6 of us, I was sure we would be able to take out one of the birds, no problem. The problem now would be finding them. The caves were extensive, and we would have to search around to find one of the birds. They typically lived in separate areas of the caves, since they weren't pack animals. At least, that's what I'd heard at the taverns. The birds typically were alone, except for during mating season, when the males would wander off to find a nearby female. I hoped we would be able to find one of them, alone, so it would be less of a threat, but I didn't see that happening. I figured if we found one, we would probably find two, since it was mating season. As much as mating season made things riskier, it could be beneficial for us as well. If we found the birds while they were in the act, well, that might make things a little easier for us, but I wasn't going to count on it. All right, I said with a smile as we reached the caves. Are you ready? The caves were sunken into the side of the mountain, and there were large boulders and rocks all around them. The vegetation was limited in this area, until further up on the mountain, where the trees and grass made an appearance again. It seemed even nature didn't want to be anywhere near these vicious birds.
I am ready,
Asta said with a sweet smile.
Ready.
Blah squeezed my shoulder where he sat and nodded his head at me, ready to go into battle. Inga nodded her head as well from her spot on Asta's shoulder, and Ufe looked at me and gave me a small smile to show he was prepared too. I looked at my small group, and I knew they were as fierce as they came. None of them were as well trained as I was, and the dragons were new to fighting, but I knew they would be able to hold their own. Blah had been in several battles already, and he'd managed to take out every monster the council threw at him in the tournament. Even though the twins had yet to have to actually fight, I'd seen them during practice, and I knew they were more than capable of taking out an opponent. Okay, let's do this. I took a deep breath and stepped into the cave with my crew behind me. The darkness hit quickly, but Asta immediately cast her sunlight and led the way. The inside of the cave was damp and earthy-smelling, and the scent filled my nostrils as we made our way inside. I could feel the coolness around us, and it sent a shiver down my spine. Being underground wasn't my favorite thing, but it was the only way to get one of these damn tail feathers, unless we waited for the birds to go outside to hunt, which could take days. They were known to hunt large animals, but it would take them a few days to eat them. And since they were in the throes of mating season, I figured they might have other things on their minds besides food. As we ventured deeper into the dark, I stepped up so I was next to Asta. She might have the light, but I didn't want her to be the first one to come into contact with one of the king's birds. It was my responsibility to protect my small team at all costs, and I would make sure to do just that. Ramir hadn't seemed concerned about sending Kaas with me, and I felt like it was because he knew I would do whatever I could to make sure she was protected, even above myself. The same went for Asta, or Blah, or Inger and Ufe. I would quickly sacrifice my own life for the lives of the ones I loved. I knew a couple of hunters had managed to bag one of these birds over the past few years, though, so I figured we wouldn't have too difficult of a time getting one for ourselves. I presumed they would put up a decent fight, but with the six of us I hoped it wouldn't last long. It was said the bird's meat was worth the fight, too. It was considered a delicacy, since it was not only so difficult to acquire, but apparently it fell off the bone and melted in the mouth in an incredible way. Occasionally, the vendors would have them in the marketplace, but usually those were birds that had been found already dead. The meat was still fresh enough to eat, but I couldn't imagine it would taste as good as it would fresh. Still, I'd never tried it. The stuff was always too expensive for my blood. I rarely spent my money on food, since I could easily make it myself, and at 2 silver coins for a single piece of meat, it never seemed worth it, no matter how good it was said to be. Once we managed to get this thing, I was rather looking forward to trying some for the first time. As we walked, I kept an eye on the ground. There were large bird prints carved into the stone floor everywhere, so we were definitely in the right place. I could tell they belonged to the king's bird, too, because they were unlike any prints I'd seen before. Three long, finger-like things jutted out from one small stump in the back, and long talons expanded out from the ends of the fingers and dug into the ground to make deep imprints.
"Should we try and follow a set of prints?"
Asta asked when she saw me looking at the ground. "There are too many to follow." I shook my head. "We have to keep going and see what we can find." The elf girl nodded, and we continued further into the cave. She kept her light coming out of her hand to illuminate our path, and soon we came to a fork in the cave system.
"Which way should we go?"
Blas sniffed the air, and then pointed his nose to the right.
"Blas is right."
"Well, then that's the way we'll go," I shrugged. The little dragon pushed ahead, and we all followed him, even deeper underground. The air was getting more humid as we walked, and it was getting colder as well. I felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and I instinctively gripped my sword tighter in my hand. Suddenly a large bird lunged forward out of the shadows in front of us. It sprung forward off its long legs and tried to snap its beak at me, but I quickly stepped to the side and pushed the girls behind me. The beast skidded to a halt and turned around to face us, and it pawed at the ground for a moment before it charged us again. Once again I sidestepped, but the damn thing was so quick I couldn't even move my blade before it made its way over to us. It stopped again and turned to look at us, and I lifted my blade up so I would be ready for the next time it charged. Seeing it in the light was magnificent, though. I'd seen the pictures of the bird before, but I'd never seen one up close. The king's bird was nearly as tall as I was, and most of that height was its legs. The thing's giant body sat on top of the long, scraggly legs underneath it, and long blue and green shimmery feathers fanned out behind it. Its face was made up of pure green feathers, and it had large yellow eyes that stared at us with a seemingly intelligent look. Something told me this creature was smarter than it was given credit for. I wondered if it was truly as dangerous as everyone said, or if it was only just defending its territory. Granted, the creature had just attacked us now, but we'd come into its cave in the hopes of getting a tail feather from it. We'd come into its territory, and I couldn't blame it for wanting us to leave. The bird was huge, though, and since it had decided to attack us, I couldn't allow it to get any closer than it already was. I might be curious about its intelligence, but I wasn't stupid enough to think I could communicate with it and talk it down. I stepped forward, with my sword drawn, ready for it to attack again, and as soon as it stomped its foot and ran toward me, I swung my blade at its neck. The king's bird was smart, though, and it dodged out of the way and had built up enough speed that it ran up the wall to our right. Then it stopped above us and dug its talons into the ceiling, so it hung there, ready to strike again. Cass had her weapon drawn, too, and she held it out ready to assist however she could. Asta still had the sun casting out of one hand, but her sword was in the other hand. The little dragons were now all standing in front of me, too, and I could tell by their bared fangs they were ready to fight. Once the bird was above us, Blah flew up and shot a blue stream of fire at it, but the bird dove down at us and swooped to the side before we could make an attempt to attack it.
"This thing is quick!"
Cass exclaimed as she crouched further into her fighting stance.
"We should split up,"
Asta suggested. I didn't like the idea of it, but if we were going to get this thing, then it might be better if we weren't all in a clump. "Blah, you and Cass go to the other side of the cave." The little blue dragon nodded, and he and Cass ran over to the other side so they were across from us. Cass was a brutal fighter, and with Blah on her side, I didn't think she would have anything to worry about. I was more concerned with Asta. The light elf was good with her sword, but she wasn't quite as proficient of a warrior as Cass was yet, so if we needed to split up, then I preferred for Cass to be on the other team. I nodded to the strawberry blonde across from me, and the next time the bird lunged at us, she and I both swung at it. She swung first, and the beast managed to dodge her swing, but my blade came down right after that and caught the bird right on its long neck. Its head came clean off, and tumbled down the corridor of the cave as its massive body hit the ground with a loud thud.
Phew,
Cass said, and she wiped some sweat from her brow.
We got it. Was that one a boy or a girl?
I'm not sure how to tell. I shook my head.
I'm gonna say it was the female,
Cass said, but her voice was nervous. Oh? Why do you think that?
Because I'm pretty sure that's the male,
the strawberry blonde said in a low voice, and I turned to see an even larger bird further back in the corridor where the original bird had come from. I wasn't exactly proficient at knowing Kingsbird facial expressions, but from what I could tell, the thing looked pissed. Oh, shit, I breathed. This bird was significantly larger than the last one, and it let out an eardrum-shattering cry before it flapped its wings and fanned us with a huge gust of wind. Ah, hold your ground! We'd clearly just killed the beast's mate, and it was out for blood. There was no escaping it at this point. The only way out of this was to take the second bird out as well. We only actually needed tail feathers from one of them, but it looked like Ramir was going to get a lot more than he'd asked for. I hadn't a clue about the mating habits of these creatures, but something told me they were quite fond of their mates. I'd heard of some animals that were monogamous, living out their lives with only one mate, and these birds were of similar practices, then. Oh, we'd just made a mortal enemy. The creature let out another war cry before it ran at us at full speed. Unlike the female version we'd just encountered, the male was a much better fighter. He dodged my slashes and flew up to shove his powerful legs out at me. The force of his kick sent me flying into the wall, but I jumped back up in time to see Blah fly up to the beast and breathe a massive amount of fire right at it. The bird squealed in pain, but it didn't give up. Instead, it continued to attack us, and it blindly scratched and kicked in our direction. It managed to get a few hits in, but Blah had blinded it with his fire, so I was able to sneak up behind it and land my sword in its skull. Blood splattered across my face, warm and sticky, and I looked up to see Asta and Cass both staring at me.
Are you all right?
Cass rushed over to me.
You hit the wall pretty hard,
Asta said with a worried look. No, I'm fine, I told the girls with a smile. And I was. I was more than fine, actually. I was excited to get these birds back to Ramir's house and get the amulet made. I was also excited to get to cook them for the first time in my life. It wasn't a bad evening by any means. Then another screech sounded, and it was clearly further back in the cave, though how far back exactly I couldn't be sure. Well, it's time to go, I said as I looked at the girls. Now! I quickly picked up the birds, and then we started to run back out of the caves. Ugh, the things were heavy, but I flung them over my shoulders and followed the girls outside, and we were bombarded with squawking the whole way. Just as we exited the cave, Asta turned around and shot a giant blast of sunlight into the cave. Blah saw what she was doing, and he and the other dragons joined in and breathed a huge amount of flame into the cave opening to deter the birds. The squawking intensified for a second, but then it stopped, and I smiled at the girls. Whew, well done.
Well done yourself, but I think it's time we get you home and clean you up.
Well, you don't like when I'm dirty? I asked with a half smile.
I didn't say that exactly,
the strawberry blonde said, and she winked at me. I adjusted the birds on my shoulder, and we started back toward home.
Do we need to take the whole bird?
Asta asked as she frowned at the carcasses on my shoulder.
I thought we only needed the tail feathers. We do, but it would be a waste of meat to leave them. We can eat them. I've never tried it.
Cass shrugged.
But their meat is supposed to be a delicacy.
I haven't tried it either, but I'm excited to get to cook it.
I'm sure it will be even better since you're making it. My father is an excellent cook, but you're better. Don't tell him I told you that, though.
I wouldn't dream of it. Ramir was a good cook, so being compared to him was quite the compliment. The cabbage stew he'd made earlier had been some of the best I'd ever tasted, and I'd made sure to watch what he put into it to see if I could duplicate it at home. That was one of the ways I'd learned to cook so well. I would hang out in the market and watch the vendors cook. That was also how I got to know some of the vendors so well. Most of them were really nice guys, just trying to make a living. There were some who didn't appreciate me watching them, but I was a banner warrior, so they couldn't really tell me to piss off. Most of them had come from a background like my own. They had lineage, but maybe not respected lineage, or maybe they grew up without a lot of money. Either way, they understood I wasn't trying to hurt their business, and those were the vendors I would go to whenever I did have spare money and wanted something to eat. Cooking this bird would be a whole new challenge for me, though, considering I'd never prepared one before or even watched one being made. It would be a game of trial and error, but I figured the safest thing to do would be to simply cook the meat until it was done and worry about the seasoning after that. I would cook a small amount of it for us to try, and if I felt it paired well with something, I would cook a larger batch for us and try seasoning it. It was completely dark by the time we made it back to the house, and the first thing I did was start a fire so we could all see more easily. After the fire was going, the girls and I started to pluck the feathers from the birds, but we made sure to put all the tail feathers into a specific pile for Ramir. We also differentiated between the rest of the feathers on the bird's body, just in case Ramir could use any of them for other spells, and Cass labeled them and put them each inside their own leather satchels to take to her father in the morning. After we finished plucking the birds, then it was time to cook them. So I carved a wing off the female bird and placed it in a pan over the flames with some salt, butter, honey, and a bit of rosemary. The meat sizzled and the smell that came from it was absolutely divine. It made my mouth water just to have the scent in my nose. After the meat looked like it was cooked through, I took it out of the pan and had the girls give it a try. Then I took a bite of it myself, and my mouth watered even more as the flavor filled it. Oh, the bird was soft and tender in my mouth, and it virtually melted away as I chewed. The sweet flavor was something I'd never tasted before, and there was a sort of taste of the ocean as well.
Oh, Odin, it's delicious. Yes.
Asta nodded.
It is wonderful.
I watched as the girls closed their eyes with pleasure while they chewed, and I couldn't help the smile that came over my own face either. The meat was just too delicious. After we ate the first little bit I'd cooked, I cut off a larger piece for us and got it cooking while I retrieved some vegetables from the garden. The meat was so delicious on its own it didn't need much to pair with it, but I figured some vegetables would do us good. After dinner that evening, we all slept under the stars, and once morning came, we headed over to Ramir's shop to give him the feathers and some meat from one of the birds.
"These will do quite nicely,"
Ramir said as he inspected the blue-green feathers we'd given him. "I hope so. I took quite the beating for them."
"I thought you said it didn't hurt that bad."
Master frowned at me.
"I believe Ratir was teasing,"
Ramir laughed. "Yes," I told the elf girl with a smile. "I'm sorry to have worried you."
"That's okay."
Asta smiled back at me. The elf girl wasn't from our realm, and while she understood most of the intricacies of our daily life because they mirrored her own, there were certain things she didn't seem to grasp as quickly. One of those was sarcasm and teasing, so I didn't think it was quite as prevalent in elven culture as it was in our own.
"So, do you think you can make the amulet with one of these?"
Cass asked her father.
"I most certainly can,"
Ramir nodded. "How long will it take?"
"It will only take a few moments once the spell has begun,"
Ramir answered. Bla bounced up and down happily, since he knew he would soon have an amulet to help him harness his abilities. If we had more time, then I was sure he would be able to harness them on his own. But, as it was, we needed to get to Helheim quickly, since we didn't know how long I had to fulfill this prophecy. If this quest didn't come to fruition, then it could bring about Ragnarok. But more than that, it needed to be fulfilled for the sake of the dragons. I could tell Bla was excited about the possibility of being able to create portals for us, and as much as we needed it to get to Helheim at the moment, we could also use it for our daily travels. If we needed to get out of somewhere in a hurry, then it would be nice to have a portal always nearby. My thoughts went back to the day Kaas, Blar, and I had gone to the World of Fire. We'd run into that strange serpent woman, Echidna, who was out to eat us. If we'd been able to make a portal of our own, we could have left right then, but we had to run back to the portal we'd come from in an attempt to flee from her. I considered myself to be quite the warrior, but that creature was incredibly strong, and we were no match for her in her own territory.
Let's see here,
Ramir said as he looked over the materials he'd gathered the day before. On the table were jars filled with strange-looking things, some sludge-like materials, some eyeball-looking things, and various other substances I didn't wish to know about. There were also some crystals on the table, and one large rock. I wondered how the ugly stone would assist with the spell, but I'd quickly learned not to question Ramir.
Can I help, Father?
You can pick the largest feather you all gathered,
Ramir told her with a smile.
I can do that,
Kaas said happily, and the young sorceress went about finding the right feather for the spell. It was nice of Ramir to give Bla the best one we had found, though I never for a second considered he wouldn't. Ramir wanted what was best for his daughter, but more than that, he wanted what was best for the world. He was a kind soul. I could tell by the way the dragons clung to him. They all loved him, which made me trust him all the more. Once Kaas had gathered the feather, Ramir gave the nasty liquid in the cauldron one last stir before he dropped the feather on top.
How does this work?
We have created a potion intended to harness abilities. After it has finished brewing, then we will pour it over this rock here to turn it into an amulet that may be worn by Bla.
So he must have the amulet on him in order to make the portal bigger.
I'm afraid that is how it works,
Ramir said with a nod.
I will be sure to put it on a nice enchanted chain for him, so he cannot lose it, but yes, he must be wearing it in order to use it.
Does that mean anybody who wore it could harness their own abilities?
I suppose so.
Ramir pursed his lips.
But this one was specially made with Bla in mind, so it will work best for him. It is always better to use magical objects created specifically for you.
I hadn't thought about that. But then again, there were a lot of magical things I'd never considered before. The whole magical universe was so new to me, I didn't think about using magic to solve my problems just yet. I thought about how nice it must be to grow up with that kind of knowledge. Granted, magic had its limitations, but I figured it was probably nice to have it as an option. Ramir stirred the cauldron, and it bubbled a few times.
Just about ready.
A few seconds later, Ramir picked up the cauldron and poured the liquid over the large rock he'd set out on the table. The thick liquid oozed over the rock and off it, and just when I thought about what a terrible mess he'd made, the liquid started to evaporate. It sparkled and turned into a dust that floated upward and fizzled into nothing just before it hit the ceiling.
Pretty, isn't it?
Ramir chuckled when he saw me staring upward. Still getting used to all this magic, I guess. I looked back at the table, and I noticed the rock was no longer a rock at all. In its place was a small, glossy black stone with a strange symbol on it.
That was incredible.
Asta breathed as she peered at the stone.
Remember? This was specifically made with Bla in mind,
Ramir said as he picked up the stone and moved his fingers around it. and out of nothing appeared a chain now attached to the stone.
Ah! He won't be able to loose it now.
That chain looks much too long for him.
Asta frowned. Silly elfin child. Ramir chuckled, and he leaned down to Bla with the necklace held out. Bla stood on his hind legs and eagerly waited for Ramir to put the stone on him. The old man used his bony fingers to clasp the metal, and as soon as he did, the necklace shrank to just the size of Bla's neck. The little blue dragon tried to look down at the stone, but he couldn't see it. So he ran over to the window behind the shop counter and peered at himself in the glass. He twisted and turned and admired his new amulet, and once he had finished, he ran back over to Ramir, flew up onto his shoulder, and licked the old man's face.
Ah! Oh, you're most welcome.
Ramir chuckled and petted down Bla's back.
Shall we give it a try?
Oh, I think that's a good idea. I agreed, and I turned to Bla. What do you think, little buddy? Ready to give it a go?
How about Jotunheim? Can you make a portal that goes there?
Bla closed his eyes and focused, and a moment later, a portal appeared. It was small at first, but then it grew to the size of the portals we were used to.
You did it!
Asta squealed and bounced up and down on the balls of her feet.
Thank you, Father.
Cass said, and she kissed the old man on the cheek. Ah, you're most welcome, dear, Ramir said before he turned to face me.
Now, I suppose you will all be leaving soon.
Ah, I suppose we will. I nodded. It was time to go to Helheim and begin this quest.